Yeah, exactly.
I will tell you this, I have watched somebody park the wrong way on that street. A state trooper parked right behind them and did not write them a ticket. I took a picture and submitted my ad to the town of Boyden for their, when they redid their logo. I said, welcome to Boyden, park however you want, and they did not accept it.
It's just not, you know, there's certain priorities, and this is...
Parking is not one of them.
So have you been in this office very long?
10 years.
10 years. And was there a chief registrar before you?
There was. His name was Ethelbert Carter.
Okay. So you're new to the chief registrar position?
No, I've been here for 10 years. I've been the
registrar. You've been the chief registrar for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. I did not know that. For some reason, I had a different name written down. Okay. So this is just a copy of our questions. And as I told you on the phone, we're Virginia Election Integrity, hoping to create good relationships with registrars, with citizens and students. And to help the students and the citizens learn the back end of election day.
Okay.
So everybody knows about going in, stating your name and address. So Olivia will be a first-time voter. She's 17. And so for her, she's brand new to the process. Now, Rick, he's been around the block a couple of times.
This would be my second time I've heard.
That's my understanding.
Yeah. But, you know, there's so much that even seasoned citizens don't know about all the things that have to happen to make Election Day possible.
I don't disagree with that.
So we had a group come together as they were learning about Virginia law, as they were learning about election integrity, as they were learning about all the ins and outs, and they came up with these questions to ask the registrars of their localities.
Okay.
So we're just gonna make this very informal. If there's a question you don't know the answer to, or you don't know how to answer it, or you wanna get back to us on it, that's fine, we'll just write that down. So Olivia, as the student, she will be doing it's called an after meeting action report.
Okay.
So she'll have to like write an essay, a little summary of what she's learned from meeting with you.
Okay.
About the election day process. And again, we're nonpartisan, just to help students and citizens.
We have actually started partnering with some of the high schools. I actually had somebody shadow me last year for the presidential primary.
Okay.
He was a student, followed me around all day. We took him to all the polling places, showed him how things work, had him come back for canvas, got permission from the electoral board. He sat in, saw the entire process from beginning to end, how it was run.
Oh,
so
that's wonderful. We actually have a question about
the
election day engagement program.
Yep, we do that.
We're finding a lot of citizens don't know about it. So we're actually going to ask a question
about it.
So very good. All the initial stuff we'll fill in here. So we're just going to start with the first question.
Mm-hmm.
What is your biggest concern about the upcoming election? It tells me that she's supposed to record what you say verbatim. That's impossible. But just
I talk a lot.
Okay.
My biggest concern is people's faith in the election process. I have complete faith in what we do around here because everything I do is in the front of the office. I don't have closed doors. I invite people in whenever, and I figure if you have nothing to hide, then you should do everything in the front of office. So my biggest thing is with what happened in 2020, I'm not going to say misinformation campaign. I will say misunderstanding campaign as far as it goes in Virginia, because that's the only place I can speak to.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people all the time, I don't care as far as my job goes what the other states do. It's my job to make sure we follow Virginia election law.
Right.
So my biggest thing is making sure people understand that our voting machines are secure, because we're one of the few localities, I say a few, about 50 to 60 in the state, that use the Dominion voting machine.
Okay.
And I have to make sure they understand that the software that was the, I'll call it the bad software, was not what we have ever used here. We've always had a newer, updated form of that software.
Okay, and we're actually going to ask questions about that as well. Again, because your answers help the public to understand what's going on as far as that goes. And so there'll be website information that we'll have, and we're going to compile statistics from all the registrar's offices so that people can say, look, we met with the registrars, and this is what they had to say.
Right.
Because we feel like it's important that you, as a public servant, have your say in the process, because if not, there is a lot of misunderstandings and misinformation that goes around, and we want people to feel good about it.
There is, and most of the people who care about elections only care about them about a month before elections.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, I don't even get a phone call. I mean, yeah. I've been here all day. My phone hasn't rang once.
Yeah, I can
so
imagine.
But we do our best to reach out to the political parties in the area to come to speak with them. I know I speak with the Republican Party 5 or 6 times a year. I speak with the Democratic Party about 2 a year. Mm-hmm. But we don't have a lot of civic groups in our area.
How many registered voters do you have here?
22,500.
That's a lot. So question number 2 is any major concerns other than what you've already
Not heard? Really. Our elections, we're pretty lucky in the area because the county actually supports us. So it's very nice to have that.
That's very good. That's always supposed to be. So do you feel like you have the resources, equipment, personnel, and training needed to run an effective election in November?
Yes, for the most part. You always worry about officers of election.
Yeah.
And it's not from amount of people. I very rarely have had an instance where we don't have enough officers.
Mm-hmm.
Our problem that we run into is representative officers. So oddly enough, in our area, even though it's like 60-40 Republican Democrat, we don't have a lot of Republican officers in our locality.
What he's talking about is the election parity, where you're required to have the same number of Democrats and Republicans. So I can see where that would be difficult.
And we've been working on
that. Yeah, Wally actually got me a list, and we're working on filling in some precincts over the summer. Because, like I said,
we have to change that.
Yep.
Okay.
So that goes to our next question. The county election board is supposed to consist of 2 Democrats and a Republican under a Democrat governor, but in some areas, boards have had trouble finding willing Republicans and have appointed an independent instead or another Democrat, and vice versa. We just use that as an example. What is the situation in this county? What do you normally do? Do you do 2 Democrats and a Republican, 2 Democrats and an independent? How do you?
We have 2 Democrats and a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to the parties to fill it, not us.
Mm-hmm.
So the political party chair is responsible for nominating the people.
Mm-hmm.
We, especially me, I have to stay as far removed from that process as humanly possible. My job is to stay independent. I finally told my wife I found a political party that I'm a member of. It's a Ribertarian, less politics, more ribs. Part of my job is remaining as independent as possible because I have to follow the law. I can't be swayed by one person or the other. I just have to do what is right.
Absolutely. So number 6, what about precinct staff? Are you able to have equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans? Please check 1, so you got to say yes or no. And any relevant details. So would we say?
I would say no.
No? That you're working on it?
Yeah, we are working on it, but it's a tough thing to do because what happens is either the Republicans or Democrats, it doesn't matter who, they want their representative in the polling place.
Mm-hmm.
And they want them in a position of power. Well, if it is your first time working on an election, you are not going to be a chief or assistant chief.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get people in there to work their way up to get these roles filled. Now, the earlier we can do it, we can start moving these people up because we like everybody to have a couple of elections under their belt before they take a role of responsibility.
Absolutely. There's a lot that has to go on that day. Okay, this will be the last question that I ask, and then Olivia will be asking you the questions 8-14. So is the County Board of Elections engaged in your work year-round or mostly near the election?
No, actually, when I first started, and the answer is year-round. When I first started, that was one of the things I asked the board to do. They only met once a year, right before the November election. I asked them to meet monthly. So now our electoral board meets monthly so we can discuss the goings-on of the county.
Wonderful. I wish everybody did that. Okay. And do you keep minutes of those meetings?
Yes, ma'am.
Here in the office for citizens?
They're also online.
Okay. So the minutes are online.
Mm-hmm. And scheduled dates of our next meeting and everything else.
How many views do you get?
we every now and then will have a visitor. We've had as many as five, which is apparently unheard of for a small rural locality because people just...
I'm surprised that you guys have your minutes online.
Well, I run our website. I've got a technology background that is...
That's wonderful.
Interesting.
You need to get a class to...
I know. So, I do all that.
You could.
Yeah. Sounds like it. You need to. Okay, Lindsay, go ahead.
When was the last audit of the voter file in your county?
I did one last year, to the best of my ability. A true audit is really tough to do because there's certain data that you just don't have. And actually, we're doing the NCOA mailing and cancellation right now. The state's about 3 months behind on it, but they finally sent us the information.
So, you don't get the data, is that?
Well, they do a purge after every federal election. Well, they typically...
Who's that?
The state board, in conjunction with the information that we... Department of Elections now, in conjunction with the information we give. So if you don't vote, if you move, the only way to get kicked off a voter registration roll is if you move and don't tell us. And we're able to find it through what they call an NCOA mailing, which is the National Change of Address. It's done through the post office. If you don't respond to that in 4 years, then you get kicked off. It's called a purge. Yep, it takes 4 years to get purged. Once we've identified that you've moved and haven't told us.
Has that happened?
Yeah, we did. I'm actually getting ready to send a wallet list now. 310 this election cycle. So they've been kicked off.
They're
gone. They were gone as of July 6th.
So that was after the
2020
election.
Yes, ma'am. So they do that. And that actually helps because they do the NCOA mailing every year. And we get stuff in and have to verify that the person, you know, either moved internally within the county, out of the county, that they're moving, living at a commercial address, which can't do. So all those checks go into it.
Does the health department send a list of deceased people to your office every month so they can be removed from the voter roll?
No, but the... have Matt, who sends it. And I saved it in case anybody ever came to talk to me about this. Never got to use this. So we get one from the governor's office, the Virginia State Police, Virginia Circuit Court, Department of Health, Social Security Administration, Postal Service, and Department of Motor Vehicles.
So all of those organizations send you a list every month?
Some are monthly, some are weekly, some are daily.
Okay, but the health department does.
They're not on there because they report to the Social Security Administration, like for the dead people. Also, every Wednesday, I affectionately call it Dead People Day. It's when all the newspapers come out and we check all the obituaries.
So your office personally checks the obituaries?
Yes, ma'am. I do, unless I'm not here. And then if we miss any or they one wasn't run, then it's monthly that the Social Security sends us what we call the death hopper, and it populates in our thing, and we're able to.
I have the feeling you might be the exception to the rule.
Probably.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm pretty sure you are.
Well, I've always been told if you agree to do a job, do it to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When was the last, this is your question. She's a slow writer.
I'm a fast talker, so that's a really tough one.
When was the last time the clerk of court submitted a list of the individuals who declined to serve on jury duty on the basis of being a non-citizen?
Never to my knowledge, but I don't know that they've ever gotten one. So it's kind of hard for me to...
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot from DMV.
When was the last time you had access to the National Change of Address List or any other Change of Address List?
Today.
So that's a regular occurrence?
They do that, like I said, after every federal election for the purge, and then it's yearly for me to have access to that list because they do the mailing. So I can pull up that list basically yearly for it to update. And in some years I've been here, they've done it twice. They've done it once in like June and one towards the end of the year, so it just depends.
Are you confident that the voter file is accurate and up to date?
Yes.
How many households in your locality have more than 7 individuals registered at the same address?
I don't know. When I first started, we did find one that had like 15 registered there, and we were able to purge that entire address from the system because they were using the route number as the road number, and that road number didn't exist. So we found them, purged all those voters out of the system.
Wow.
And since then, we've partnered with the county. They've actually gotten a GIS guy who put everything online, so you can access the GIS file for the county, and we use that to go by now instead of the old antiquated street file that you enter in Beerus.
Can you find that information for us and forward it to us if I give you my email address? I mean, in this county, you may have none that have, especially if you're staying on top of it.
We have any, but.
It's just Diana, D-I-A-N-A, C as in cat, Shores, S-H-O-R-E-S.
During registration, how do you verify the voter's license?
If they put a check mark in the box, that is the only way, and that is the cornerstone of registering, is you have to have some faith in the system because there is no list of citizens anywhere or non-citizens.
Rick, do you
want to
do 15 through
18? I will. There are three types of voting machines used in Virginia. You tell me which one of the machines you use.
We use the Dominion Ice Machine.
Does it also make ice?
I wish if it made that good ice, I'd keep it at home.
And as this is a follow-up, how many years have you used that? That you think?
We got them in 2015 for the November election.
Who calibrates the voting machines, and can you please explain the process?
I actually had a third-party vendor do it, Jay Overby with Atlantic Election Services. I'm there for every single time they do every single machine. We also invite the political parties to come and view the process. So what we do is we get a stack of ballots, or a randomized stack, to make sure that we have voted for at least every single office one time, minimum, and we run the stack through the machine. First one we do is cap usually because absentee voting or now early voting starts 45 days before. We run that stack through the machine, verify it against what the machine read as to what we fed in the machine, and then that's how it's verified. Then we take that exact same stack and test every single other machine that we have. Each machine is locked and sealed with a specific serial number. The number of recorded votes is recorded on envelope 7 and also on the master tape that they print out that prove that their totals match.
Are the political parties participating in the election?
No, they are there strictly to observe.
But I mean, are they coming?
They show up.
Are they showing up? That's what I mean.
Not for anyone except a November election, typically.
But they do show up for the November election.
Yes. Or they have a representative.
Is that Wally? Is
Wally will come sometimes. He usually gets Bob Shadeen to come because he's the electoral board member to represent the party. Mm-hmm. So that's usually who shows up. Every now and then, the
Democratic survey confident.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bob is on the ball.
And he, by the way, he was looking for a list of voters. Is that something he can get? we can get.
The Republican Party can. Well, it just has to call the State Board of Elections and ask for the list. I think it's $35 is what it used to be. Andrea Walker is ready to contact.
Okay.
I got her number over there. If you just remind me at the end, I'll give you a. I know it's 804-864-89. I don't know the last few digits.
The next question is, do you invite party representatives to witness the caliber?
Absolutely. By law, we have to invite them for every single time. And if it's independent candidates, like in 2 years, we have to invite every single candidate running for the independents.
Or just a side question, do they show up?
No, I've never had an independent candidate show up ever.
Maybe did anybody show up?
No. Unless it's a political, like...
They might not know.
They just don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, I like, especially the independents, they're like, yeah, I'm working. We trust you to do whatever you're doing. Have a good day.
Because this just strikes me as if you're going to do foul play and people don't show up to speak. I'm talking about other places, not here, but, you know, because you're here, you can watch it.
Right.
But if there's shady people around and nobody shows up, it's wide open. I mean, they do whatever they want.
It is the problem, and I'm working on with our board, is putting all this online. I just bought new webcams so that I can record that process as we do it. So the LNA testing, that's what I call it. I think they call it calibration. Record it one time so the public can see, hey, this is what we do every single election to every single voting machine. Isn't that a neat idea?
An exception to the rule, yeah. For sure.
And then we're going to try... I'm trying to find a scanner that will scan the tapes because they're so long, and scan those and put them online so you can see these are the result tapes from our testing.
Are voting machines ever connected to the internet?
Nope. Ours don't even have the capability to be connected to the internet.
I need that answer because you did in your presentation.
Yes.
So if they're not connected to the internet, how and when are they updated?
They actually, hopefully, will be updated this August. The third-party vendor that we do is also a vendor that I bought the machines from, Jay Overby, Atlantic Elections. Mm-hmm. They get sent an update file, a firmware update, and they come down and do the update from a computer that has never been connected to the internet. So from my understanding, the voting machine manufacturer sends them a file, not electronically, but actually mails them a disk. They bring it down, put it on machines, never been connected, and then do our updates.
Sounds good.
Should I go
on? Yeah, you can do the next section. The next section is about COVID. That was fun.
As an election professional, do you think the changes made in the election process in Virginia in response to the COVID have weakened election integrity, strengthened election integrity, or made no changes in the election integrity?
So that's a loaded question for me. As far as in-person voting, it made no change. As far as by mail, I think it weakened it. Because when you vote in person, I still have to see some form of ID. It's not a photo ID, but it's still some form of identification. Through mail, they got rid of the witness signature. And then it's also gotten rid of, that's a new law, so that.
So it's kind of a no-brainer. I agree with you. If yes, what was the funding or contribution? Wait a minute, I skipped one. Did you receive any funding or in-kind contribution for training, staff, voter education, or equipment, or any other purpose from outside the state of Virginia?
Yes, I did. The CTOC. The Center for Technology and Civic Life. They were based out of Chicago. And they're a voting advocacy group, and they actually paid for my way to fly out there one time and give a presentation on how we run elections here. But they had a grant process that we applied for and got something like $22,000. We used it to give our officers of election hazard pay for working that day, and then I used the remainder to buy training equipment, projectors, nice laptop, tables, chairs, the whole nine yards, so we could actually have a place to do training in our new facility instead of having to lug everything over to the old courthouse. And then we also got the CARES Act. I think everybody got that though, except we spent ours.
Effective July 1, 2021, Senate Bill 1097 eliminated requirements for voters to have the witness signature on absentee ballots for any election during a declared state of emergency. The governor has now rescinded the state of emergency. How are you training your staff to ensure that there is a signature match for the upcoming election?
It's just me and Miss Terry in here.
So you trained yourself?
Yes, I've done a good job so far, let me say so. But the funny part is, Miss Terry actually does most of the absentee stuff. Because she has a certain process, and to do an absentee mailing is tedious at best. Because you have to pack four different envelopes inside of an envelope with the instructions and make sure you have the correct ballot. So we found instead of her and I both trying to do it, it's easier if she just handles that. I typically do the receiving in, and she does the sending out. So I'm the one, if there's anybody to blame once it happens, I've always told her I'd rather get in trouble than her. So that's how we handle that.
But she does the signature, so she does the signature.
I do the signature, so when it comes in, yeah. And that's,
not,
on
the
that's not required by law to do a signature match.
No.
No. And there's nothing we can do currently if they don't match.
There is a lot of concern in Virginia, period. Pardon me. And across the country about the security and integrity of the ballot drop boxes.
Yep.
What are the chain of custody procedures for ballot drop boxes?
So we actually have a really good one. I don't have any drop boxes outside my office. It stays in my office on that table when election time comes. Law doesn't say I have to have one outside, so we keep it in here where it can be monitored 24/7. On election day, it says we have to have one at every single precinct. So I have the old metal ballot drop boxes that they used to have a long time ago with seals on them. Each electoral board member has a replacement seal and a pair of tin snips because they're wire, not plastic seals. Each seal's numbered, so when they go to pick it up, the chief of the precinct writes down, I'm giving you this many ballots. The electoral board signs it. Then they drop it off here. I sign the same sheet of paper saying that I received this many ballots, and that's how the chain of custody is kept on election day.
So, clarifying question. So, there it's sealed, and nobody's opening it until it gets here?
The envelope is, not the ballot box. So, the electoral board member can cut the seal on the back, pull the ballots out, close it, and then they have a seal to reseal it that is numbered.
And then they're counting the ballots at the precinct?
Nope, if they're uncounted, they end up coming back to CAP, and the CAP counts.
So someone is taking them out of the boxes and transporting them to the CAP office?
Yes.
So when it's being transferred to the CAP office, who's doing the transfer?
The electoral board members.
Together?
Just one, it's one at a time. That's why we came up with the sheet that said that they're giving this many ballots and that we're receiving this many ballots. And all the ballots are sealed and unopened. With a special mark.
So one member with numbered ballots, just want to make sure I understand this, because every county does it different.
Yep.
Numbered ballots, transport to CAP.
And if there's any left over after a board member has been there, then the chief of the precinct brings the sealed ballot box.
So the accountability measure is counting. So we're going to open the box. I'm giving him 10. He's a member of the electoral board. I'm saying, Rick, here's your 10 ballots. You're taking to the CAP office. Rick says, I got it. I'm taking 10. He gets here. And how do you know it's 10 when he gets here?
I was trying to see if I had one of those sheets printed. I just got recent reapproval for it. So it's literally a sheet of paper that the board member carries around that has a ballot seal number at the top. I'll print one for you if I
can. Oh, you can just email it to me.
Okay. It's got a seal number at the top, so they write down the seal numbers that are on every single box. The chief and the electoral board member cut the thing open, pull the ballots out, and they both count the ballots. They record the number on there, and the chief signs it. So the chief signs that he's given the board member 3 ballots. When the board member comes back here, they say, here's the 3 ballots.
Got it. With signed. The paper that's been signed.
Right. And then we sign the paper saying that we received it.
Right.
Was there any time during the last election cycle when your drop boxes did not have video monitoring?
They never had video monitoring, but they don't need it. Now when I move, they will.
Because they're in here.
Well, even when I move to my new building, I'm outfitting the entire office with security cameras. So that even when I'm not there and the ballot drop box is empty and what have you, our whole office will be monitored.
Who is responsible for reviewing the video and were party observers present during the review?
That's kind of not applicable.
That's quite not applicable.
Okay, so the next part is to strengthen public confidence in the integrity of elections, we hope to expand our observation efforts. We have a few questions about election pages, nonpartisan observers, blah, blah, blah. So it sounds like you're really on the ball with your website and what you share with the public, which I know they appreciate. So number 25, would you provide training and support or designate us or other organizations like us to provide training and support for an election day program as described in the section code about the election day high school student program? You already do that,
yes.
So I'm just going to put...
I'll be honest, I would say no.
Okay.
And the reason is, I'm an absolute control freak when it comes to election day because I'm the one that'll get blamed if something goes wrong. So we do offer training for pages. I hope this is coming up here, I'll get to go back instead of doing it online. But we used to go to schools and tell the students about our page program, explain exactly what it was, and get them to work a 2 to 4 hour block. And if they did it for as long as they could, then we told them that, you know, we'd be happy to give them a certificate and please include that on their college applications if they worked in the elections
yeah,
and the page
absolutely.
Program. Just as something, because I told them when I applied, that had been something that stood out that nobody had ever done.
I think it's more kind of like what we're doing, just trying to give them a positive experience.
Yes.
So that they are lifetime engaged as
yes.
election officers, volunteers, follow-up.
Well, I tell people, and I'm sorry, but if you get a hot college or high school student involved early, then they might come back and be an officer of election. And that's my backhanded way of doing it, because when I tell them when I was there, I sat in the class, I had the registrar come and ignored every single thing that man said,
mm-hmm.
and didn't care about voting until I got this job.
Okay, this next question is an opinion question. Would you, in your opinion, if you had the opportunity
mm-hmm.
to allow nonpartisan election observers with the same rights as party reps as described in the section code about party reps,
mm-hmm.
would you, in your opinion, allow for nonpartisan observers, citizen observers, if they were trained through some sort of certificate program? That's fine if you don't know. Something to think about.
Well, I mean, it depends on what election, to be completely honest. Like the presidential election, I would say heavens no. Probably any other one than that one, yes, just because it's more bodies in our polling places.
Because it's already a full house.
Yeah, I mean, you usually have, if anybody's going to be represented, they're represented.
Would you authorize international non-party observers from recognized election monitoring organizations?
Yeah, I'd offer to do that. But again, it depends on which election. So, if it's a presidential election, I'm not raising my hand for it. If it's, and again, any other one, because presidential, it's, I love all my colleagues, but that's really the only hard one. All the rest of them are the exact same.
No, I've been a poll watcher on presidential.
Yeah.
It's busy,
yes.
It's cramped, it's hard to hear, it's hard to see, so I understand that. 28, have your local party chairs been notified that they are entitled to send observers to your office each day it is open and receive in-person absentee ballots?
Nope.
Particularly about that.
I have not told them that. Personally, I don't think.
Okay. Do you have a publication that you provide to your election officials regarding rights and responsibilities of observers?
Yes, I do.
Would you be willing to share a copy with us?
Yeah, that's just the standard one that the state has.
Some counties have their own.
Oh, no, I'll just use the state's.
Yeah, that'd be fine. All right. really it. And again, we hope that our answers are going to help get resources here in Virginia to help train people, get high school students involved, get
citizens
involved.
Absolutely.
Dispel rumors and myths.
And I'll be honest, the rumors and myths are the toughest part. I mean, because that's what you're fighting the entire time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I try and make it a point to go out and talk to both parties, because the parties are going to be the ones that have their own rumors and myths. It just is what it is for both sides. I'm trying to stifle the vote if I'm a Democrat, and I'm not being truthful half the time if I'm going to the Republican. I mean, it's just, I tell people it is what it is, and that's part of the job for me to explain that I'm here to follow the law. Because if I don't, I get fired, and I have a mortgage.
So, Libby, do you have any questions for your summary report or any other follow-ups at this time? Feel like you have a grasp? Rick?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I don't know whether you were at the meeting when we discussed, or I discussed the letter I sent to
the FCC?
FCC. The Honorable Kimberly White. Kimberly White is the judge who appoints the election.
Okay.
Official. I got this from Bob. So, have you heard anything about this?
I know the state's not doing anything because they referred it to the FEC because it was a federal thing. They haven't been able to meet them. That's the Federal Election Commission, right? They just got their third member reappointed. And it was Don Palmer. I think he was the third one, because they'd only had two board members for so long, and they had just started to take up something with the voting machine security stuff, and they were doing that first. They just passed that, and from my understanding, they're taking up other matters now. I don't know what other matters are.
What is that about again?
So it was elections worldwide. That's an explanation.
I've seen it, yeah.
As elections roll by, she's still the partisan hack official overseeing all the elections. And I've got a real problem with that.
I understand.
A lot of people have a real problem with that. I mean, I've talked to a whole lot of people about this, and they're really upset. And I find the inaction to be very disturbing.
Well, it's... To my understanding, the only person that can ask her to be removed or step down is her party chair, and he's not going to do it.
No, the FEC, I'm sure. Oh.
They can charge her or fine her, but I don't think they can force her to step down from what I have read. Mm-hmm. And my guess is if they'll do anything, it'll be a fairly hefty fine just because of all of the...
But doesn't the judge have to sign off on the appointments?
Well, she's not been she won't be reappointed until 2022.
Okay.
So we're gonna be locked and loaded. 2021.
Right. That's when they'll be reappointed, is the end of 2021.
Yeah.
Because they changed the terms.
We're gonna be locked and loaded, but we're not gonna sit still with this.
Okay. Sit right there.
I mean, if you did something like this,
right,
then you'd be gone.
Right.
I mean, the newspapers would be all over it.
Well, that's why I went to the Board of Supervisors after it happened, to let them know that I didn't run that ad.
Yeah.
Because it appeared that my office ran.
Right.
And I had to make sure that everybody knew that I was not responsible.
So the ad had the registrar's office on it?
And our phone number, which I told myself, I don't care if my phone number's on it, it's public information anyway. It just, the way that it was written, it made it look like our office was encouraging.
And no disclaimer.
Yeah.
And no disclaimer. No
paid for by.
No paid for by. And the newspaper printed, after a lot of letters came in to the editor, printed a retraction or an explanation that and said they did not make the same. Anyway, I just, while I was here, I thought I'd ask.
Yeah, and I
thought I'd heard. I mean, it's been a year. close to a year.
Yep.
Well, it sounds like you're running a pretty tight ship here.
I try to, like I said, it's, I know the electoral board is technically responsible for elections, but I'm the one that will get in trouble because I'm the public facing person as far as elections go.
We certainly appreciate you meeting with us.
Oh, happy to do it.
And taking the time to follow up with us on those two little things about the handbook. Mm-hmm. What's the other thing?
I told Diana when we came, I said, this is going to be a good one.
7 individuals.
Yes.
Mark that.
But it sounds like if you're on top of the Persian.
Yeah, I've never actually been asked that question. So it's not something I've ever looked for.
I think in larger localities where people are moving a lot, like there's a lot of turnover in apartment buildings.
Now, between me and Brunswick, we've got a lot of back and forth. But the state system, as long as it is a move within the state, is really good. It's just when it gets out of state that it's hit or miss because the local office is responsible for sending a notification saying, hey, it's a person moved.
Well, it'll be interesting. She's got quite a bit more registrar meetings that she'll have to do. it'll be interesting the different answers and approaches to things.
It is very different across the state the way that people do it.
I understand that. Mm-hmm.
Some people say that is a bad thing. As long as they follow the law, I think it's a great thing. The more decentralized something is, mm-hmm. the less chance of somebody to hack it.
Oh, I agree with that.
Because if one person is in control of everything, that's when things can go belly up real quick.
I moved to Utah in 2001. I never turned in any information to the registrar's office. Didn't even think of that. You know, I just went over there and registered to vote, you know, mm-hmm. when I got my residence there. But I often wonder.
Well, what is supposed to happen is the registrar's office is supposed, like, we notify the state, you know,
Juhu.
And they send a letter to Utah saying, or vice versa.
You wouldn't know I moved because I didn't send.
Well, Utah would send us a notification. That's the way it's supposed to happen, right. Again, if you're doing your job. But since the state joined ERIC, I think in 2008, it was right before I became registrar, a couple of years, they joined the ERIC program and they share information across state. And they haven't done a report on that, as far as I'm aware, in like 3 or 4 years.
A lot can change in 3 or 4 years.
It can, but I liked it, but it made a little more work because we'd have to say, hey, this person moved at this point, did they vote any point after that?
All right.
And then we'd have to send something to the Commonwealth Attorney and said, hey, this person voted after they moved, it's in your hands now. Because we have no processing power.
Right.
All we can do is report it.
So what happens if somebody does do what I did?
Mm-hmm.
But then does what I did, which is come back and vote in both places.
That's where ERIC actually picks it up and would tell us that you voted in both places. The NCOA should pick it up.
So has that ever happened here where you had to turn something into the Commonwealth's attorney?
Yes.
But you don't know the outcome.
No, nothing happened because we ended up, we caught the guy that did it. It was a complete, I think, misunderstanding on his part, because right when early voting started, and he came in and early voted, he went to vote on election day and cast a provisional ballot, which is the fail-safe for it, but if you already voted and you go to vote, technically that's against the law.
Right.
And I will turn you in. I got my sister fired from turning somebody in from the NCOA, because her boss fired her because I called him registered at a commercial address that he did not live at.
Wow.
But you got a good job. Guy.
Thankfully, she got a good job after that and is not mad at me. But
what a jerk.
Step up.
I mean, it is. But
what a jerk.
Yeah, in more ways than one.
Yeah.
So that has happened once that I have found.
But what's the penalty?
Depends on what the Commonwealth. Most Commonwealth attorneys won't process or prosecute because it's, I guess, for them tough to prove,
which is the problem.
I think they'd have to prove that you were doing it in a malicious way. Like,
yeah.
You intended.
And around here.
Oh, I forgot. I just drove back to
right.
Utah to Virginia to vote. I just
silly.
Dangerous thing. Yeah, I mean, again, locally it's easy because we've got, actually I've got really nice poll books now, but that helps out a lot. Just places that don't have electronic poll books, I don't know how they function.
Now, for the grant program that you got the grant mm-hmm. for, do you sought out that grant and applied for it?
Actually, the state had mentioned that there were some, so I looked out for it because at the time, I'm very fiscally minded. My dad was a CPA growing up, so I've never gone over budget ever. So when I found that we were getting CARES money, and I could get this other grant, I actually saved all of our CARES money that we got. We got $55,000 in CARES for our office.
Wow.
I got the other grant to pay for the training materials and poll workers, and I used the $55,000 to get poll books. So I spent every bit of money on, because poll books are really, really, I mean, the ones I wanted to get were $75,000. So we settled for just as nice a one, but for $55,000, which meant I had to rebuild 24 laptops, but we did a lot of work in-house to save the county money.
Good job.
We always have, so I mean, not that you asked, but I'm on the IT group that sets the minimum security standards for the state mm-hmm. of what you have to meet as far as your network goes. Mm-hmm. And we're working now to get some major colleges in Virginia. It's five that have signed on so far. It's like Tech, VCU, JMU, GMU, and another one I can't remember. But to start partnering with small rural localities to beef up their secure cybersecurity stances.
That's great. That's good. All good news, I think.
Mm-hmm. So good things are coming, but it's very slow.
It is.
And I'm not a very patient person.
But I think the silver lining and with what happened in 2020 is that people are more aware. They're more cognizant of.
They are
problems, but also it's opportunities to get better.
But people have a short memory. That's the problem. If everything runs smooth this November, they'll forget all of that.
I don't know about that.
I can guarantee that will happen. Look at your local election. You have a school board member that makes everybody mad in the first year of their term. But the rest of them is smooth sailing. The person will be reelected.
Oh, yeah.
So it's sad to say, but things like that happen. And mm-hmm. even in where I sit, I want people to remember. Mm-hmm. Because when people get mad, then they fund elections like they should have been from the beginning to make sure that smaller offices, and not necessarily mine, because like I said, the county supports us very well. But I know a lot of offices in the area, like our neighbors around, that are not funded, don't have what they need, and are in short supply of a lot of things.
Well, I'm sure it's partly because you're a good advocate for your office.
Oh, yeah, I'm very quiet and very reserved.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you, ma'am. It was nice to meet you.
Good seeing you again. I'm sure we'll talk shortly.